Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is Robert Coulson, senior correspondent here at RFERL. Thanks for joining me today, Rob.
And thanks for inviting me back, Steve.
All right. Well, as usual, there is a lot going on in Russia. And recently, this show has focused on the COVID situation and things like President Vladimir Putin's Direct Line program. Meanwhile, though, the crackdown on the opposition, civil society, and independent media has not flagged, and I'd like to discuss that today. There have been several events in this continuing crackdown that I think many observers have seen as kind of watershed or at least very important developments. One of those was the Russian state's designation of the U.S. registered company Project Media as a undesirable organization, effectively outlawing the Russian outlet Proyekt or the Project. Now, on Friday, Proyekt announced that Project Media was being liquidated due to this decision, but vowed that the investigations carried out by journalists at the outlet would continue. And they ended their Telegram post by saying, quote, "Journalism is not a crime." Rob, you've reported extensively on independent media in Russia. There have been ups and downs. Please tell us a bit about what has happened here and what it means.
It is a strange time for media in general. And I think the thing that you quoted about the journalists at Proyekt pledging to continue their work is interesting because, in a way, the Putin regime has been sort of playing whack-a-mole with independent journalists for years now and just sort of driving them from one outlet to another. We've seen in recent years the creation of a lot of very impressive journalistic projects in Russia, including Proyekt, but The Bell, The Insider, Medusa. And they've been carrying out a lot of really important investigative projects. It's sort of a really good time for investigative journalism these days, with a lot of open source information. A lot of Russian officials are keeping their assets in abroad, and their information about them is available on databases in America. Databases are sold freely in Russia, which can be mined, as you know. Things like that. So it's become very difficult for oppressive regimes like the Putin government to keep their information secret, and a lot of this information is coming out. To the extent to which it actually has an impact in Russia is definitely something that needs to be studied and is more debatable, but the information was coming out. It's interesting that they went after Proyekt because not only have they done a lot of good corruption investigations, but they were also the outlet that reported that Putin had a third illegitimate daughter and that Ramzan Kadyrov had a second wife and things like that. Sort of, there's sort of a personal element as well to that.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, of course, and other outlets have been hit as well, including ours and Medusa, you know, designated foreign agent. You mentioned the kind of personal life reporting. I mean, and that has been, you know, it's hard to say whether that is a deciding factor, but that is something that the Kremlin has been saying, you know, since early in Putin's time in power, that is off limits essentially to the media, Putin's personal life. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that is whether probably they might not admit it, but that's the kind of thing that might you know, prompt the Kremlin or the state to act. But as you say, other also, you know, corruption investigations done by Proyekt. So that's, you know, presumably another factor. So thanks for that. Now, of course, the crackdown that intensified, this crackdown that's happening now, essentially, it's been going on, but it intensified after opposition politician Alexei Navalny returned to Russia in January, following his recovery from a nerve agent poisoning in Siberia last August that he blames on Putin and the Federal Security Service. Now, this crackdown You know, it's obviously not limited to the media, and related court cases are grinding on. This week, hearings are planned in several of these cases. One of them involves a human rights lawyer, Ivan Pavlov, and at least two are related to Navalny, one involving his brother, Oleg, who was released from prison in 2018 after 3.5 years behind bars and a politically charged trial in which Alexei Navalny was given a suspended sentence. And Oleg Navalny, I believe, is now under house arrest on new charges connected to the protest over his brother Alexei's jailing in January. Another hearing is related to a Moscow subway worker who is one of, I believe, several who were fired after voicing support for Navalny. Rob, do you see any kind of method to the madness of this crackdown, so to speak, or is it just an all-encompassing effort by the Kremlin?
I see a little bit of both, actually. It's sort of become commonplace to say that this crackdown is tied to the upcoming September State Duma elections and United Russia's low ratings and their need to sort of manage that election properly. But I'm seeing something much broader going on, and all-encompassing is maybe the right word for it. It seems to me like the crackdown has become untethered from the elections themselves. The big news, you know, just today and over the weekend, as you know, is the closing down of the Commando 29 legal aid organization in St. Petersburg, which has been involved in a lot of state secret cases. You mentioned the Pavlov case, but that's sort of part of the crackdown. He was the head of this Commando 29. And they're going after the lawyers, going after these investigative journalism outfits that we were talking about before, which aren't directly tied to the election, and in my opinion, it's a sign that the security agencies, having been given the instruction to clean up the situation for the elections, have actually decided to go further or to take advantage of their long leash now and really clean up the situation, because it does seem like it's possible that the Putin government is preparing for a new sort of post-election situation where the facade of managed democracy is much, they sort of give that up to some extent.
Right. That's very interesting, the idea that it's perhaps geared not just or not to the elections themselves, but to something that may be coming after the elections. Quite a grim thought, really. But you mentioned the security services. I mean, I think a lot of analysts were saying when the constitutional amendments were adopted last year, around this time, a little bit, just over a year ago, I guess, allowing Putin to run for two more terms if he wants. You know, analysts were saying that this is really going to give the security services free rein, you know, and people have been talking, you know, I think those kind of predictions have really been borne out. And there's talk about, you know, Patrushev's influence, Nikolai Patrushev, the secretary of Putin's Security Council. So, you know, it does seem like there may be something more going on here than the elections themselves.
I think so. They not only cracked down on Commando 29, but also on the Institute of Law and Public Policy, which is also a legal aid organization that helps bring cases from Russian citizens to the European Court of Human Rights. They really are going at basic fundamental rights in the Constitution, of the rights to legal defense and that sort of thing. Another thing about Commando 29 that even the Commando 29 lawyers mentioned is that they've been very active in pushing to open up the old security service archives, to change the laws and regulations on how information is available about the political repressions under Stalin and throughout the Soviet period. And that is something that that the security forces also are extremely sensitive about. There's still a lot of crimes hidden in those archives. So I see it basically as a big attack against sort of openness in government and availability of information in general. It's a frightening time, and like I say, I think it's bigger than the election.
Yeah, absolutely. And now you're describing it stretching back, sort of not only pushing into the future, but also stretching back into the past. And as you say, the security services have been very sensitive, you know, and have kind of fought back or fought against those, fought in quite a lot of detail against those who are trying to, you know, expose still Stalin's crimes, the crimes of the Soviet state during the Soviet era. So that's again a fairly grim situation that's being described. I guess we will leave it at that. Running out of time, Rob. Thanks a lot for joining me.
Thanks a lot for having me again. Good to talk to you.
Okay, great to have you on. I'll be taking a break next Monday. The podcast will return on August 2nd. Meanwhile, please watch for my Week in Russia newsletter this Friday. Thanks for listening.